The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Your lips look so moist now.
Once again, Billy Madison.
Just Buscemi reincarnated.
I need to watch that movie. I've never watched it. But all these references. I know, I haven't. I guess they're now.
Yeah. You could just do a YouTube search for Steve Buscemi in Adam Sandler movies, and they'd come up, and because they're all ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah. They're great.
Yeah.
Hubie Halloween. He's very good
That's
in as
well.
That's
a good one, yes.
It is.
Kids love that one, but I do too.
The best Jimmy, you're not framed properly.
His mom wears.
I'm what?
You're not framed properly.
It's Monday, everyone, and it's Footy Prime the Podcast. And all here except for JC, who's lurking in the background somewhere. We're coming off our semi-live podcast on Friday when we're all in person, which is lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it? I haven't actually heard it. I re-listened to it back. Has anyone?
I haven't yet.
Dubs,
Craig and I had a sleepover on Friday night, and then we woke up and watched the She Believes Cup and Amy Dubs doing her thing. And I was thinking we should start the show after complaining about the daylight saving times and losing an hour. Mm-hmm. So I know we talk a lot about how crappy the weather is in BC, and I know it's really hard on them, but they did the right thing by this being their last daylight saving time. And I'm a little envious, not so much about the weather, obviously, but that they made this decision politically. So congratulations, British Columbia.
Because we're all feeling tired over here.
We are. I had a miserable sleep. And wasn't it on brand for International Women's Day to be robbed of an hour?
Well, here we go.
You get 23 of 24 hours.
You don't even get to celebrate for a full 24 hours. No. Ripped off. There's no International Men's Day, Dubs.
They owe you an hour.
Every day is International Men's Day.
It's true. Kind of is. Yeah, we're all a bit tired. But that wasn't Sunday, so we should be over it by now. Actually, it takes like it's weird. The 1 hour, it does take a few days to kind of recover it, it feels like.
Yeah, that's why there's the incidence of heart attacks and car accidents go up the day after.
Do they really?
Yes, and quality of podcasts.
That was number three or four, right, Duff, on the list? Yes, quality of podcasts.
So shall we start talking about the women's match then, just to satisfy all you women out there? I love looking Dubs' face when I say something so blatantly awful. But we should, it's an international.
Mm-hmm.
And was Junior Grosso's winning penalty the worst winning penalty you've ever seen in your life?
It's close. Because, you think of her gold medal winning penalty in Tokyo. That took a deflection, but it was more convincingly struck than the one that she hit, because the goalkeeper Perea guessed right, and it was just not placed really properly. Like, it was just too down the middle and not hit with enough power to beat her down the middle. It was kind of neither here nor there. And you saw her face after, right? Mm. Kind of like slumped shoulders and then a wry smile and ran back, but it counts. Just like it's a result. It was a scoreless draw. The familiar difficulties in scoring goals in open play cropped up again for this team, but they got the result, and that's what's going to be remembered. And I think the vibes and the feeling and getting off on the right foot for 2026 is what this group and Casey Stoney needed to do, and I think that was achieved at the She Believes. But can we change the name? Can we change the name, please?
Time. I've been in this for a while. Mm-hmm. It seems so gimmicky. She believes. Yay.
No.
Should be he believes and she believes cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we called. Like, well, actually, we have a tournament coming up end of this month, right?
Stay out of
which,
it, Jim.
Which we'll be calling the okay. He Believes Cup. Tunisia.
The He Believes Canada. Cup should be this window. Yeah.
That's what we called it last year. Remember last summer we called it the He Believes Cup?
Yeah. What was that called again? I forget.
He wants a cup.
Canadian Shield, right?
Canadian Shield, correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Canadian Shield.
Oh. Spelled incorrectly.
Yeah. Still better than the He Believes Cup or the She Believes Cup. Anyway. But yeah, listen, it's two wins. It's one loss. There's some young players blooded in this tournament as well, which is important. But
and first starts given to Cornell and Chukwu. Yeah.
Finally got Kelly Hunter a star as well.
Yes. Right? Love to see that. It was an all NSL right wing because DB Pridham, Casey Stoney, when she came in, started with the two striker system and then very quickly threw it out. But they started the match and they looked a little bit clunky, a little bit disjointed. Some good moments, but never really came to anything. They were too narrow in their attack. And you saw what they wanted to do tactically. It was quite evident, but the team was a little bit timid and hesitant in their execution of it. Second half was better, but again, familiar struggles with breaking down a well-disciplined, it should be said, Argentine team. But they slowed the pace of the game down and then made themselves vulnerable to the chippy, sometimes reckless play. But I interrupted you, Sharms. You were about to say something else.
I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
I have no idea. What I will say, though, is obviously it wasn't the full-strength Canada anyway. If Olivia Smith's healthy for this one, they score goals, right? I would think. So there's no point getting too down on the lack of finish, I don't think, because you gave me a little look there like, no, we should be coming down hard on these girls for not finishing properly.
On these players, yeah, I prefer that to girls, if you don't mind. I'm not being a dick, but it's just that really rankles me. It really rubs me the wrong way. We've talked about it before.
No, ladies, but not girls.
Oh, fuck.
But I didn't say
which ladies. Worse?
Girls.
Hey, we say, come on, boys. We say boys, referring to men. What's wrong with girls?
Because it's just, I see it, and maybe this is me being slightly sensitive to it. But I think the way that you talk about these athletes is important. And I think there's an element of condescension and keeping you in your corner and keeping you in your place if you're referred to as girls rather than women or players. Yes, athletes. Yep.
Hmm.
I mean, so you're not guilty of that, but I think that sometimes is a problem in women's sports.
Yes, Jimmy.
So we're in the dress room and we're going, oh, come on, let's go, boys. We're at this. What do you guys say? You don't say anything like that? Do you say, okay, let's go, women? Or do you say, let's go, girls?
I've never in my life said, let's go, girls, unless I'm singing Shania Twain.
So it's already Shania, is it?
Curious. What is the rallying cry?
Let's guys? Go. Let's fucking go. But it's there's a difference, though. There's a distinction between the people who are in it talking about themselves and then the way that that's viewed and the lens through which women's sports is viewed and the language that's used.
But not everyone that says, come on, girls, or the girls are being patronized. No, I don't think. Some might well be, but not.
Correct. So, you adjust your language and you're more measured about it and you're more careful about it, more deliberate, because you know that there are people who are doing it in order to keep women down, in order to treat them, like with kid gloves, and they're delicate and they're girls.
Okay.
Not saying that you're one of those people, because you're not.
No.
As much as you're like, oh, a misogynist comment and we're progressive here and it's kind of tongue in cheek. Like, you guys are the allies. You guys are the good guys. But I think it's important to underline where we can make improvements.
You're not going to like my next comment. Unwatchable game. Fair critique. No, but
yes, you have to criticize for sure.
Yeah. So and I say we, I'm speaking for Craig and he'll jump in. We were sitting there going, some really nice play watching the Canadian team, but Argentina, ruined the second half for us. It was on that one player who was hurt on the side of the field, and dragged her ass,
scooted back
to it. Like, that was about a 10-minute, and I just went, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And afterwards I said to Kreger, I go, this is unwatchable. And he goes, unwatchable. Like, it was.
Yes, I agree. There was that. But I want to ask Kreger. So the match itself was crying out for some moments of individual brilliance. And they had a wonderful sequence of interchange and fluidity, attacking fluency in the first minute. And they should have scored.
Chukwu,
it was a great right? Yes, she drew three players to it, underlapping run by Janine Sonas, tries to square it across, and nothing comes of it. But Kaylin Sheridan Forrest, who comes up huge in the pens. We talked about Julia Grosso and that struck penalty and how she maybe wanted to have it back. It goes in, so it doesn't really matter. But Sheridan, as the goalkeeper, she was the player of the match.
Yeah, those first two penalties were exceptional saves. And really well struck. Okay, well, the first one, maybe not in the corner, but really well struck. Good height. And the second
one was right here.
Second one was amazing.
Second one was a good save. First one was easy. Come on.
Come on, man.
First one was easy.
She moved like 3 feet to her left.
It was right here. Yeah, alligator arms got it.
Well, yeah.
Even Pickford could have got that.
Right, it could have easily gone through her. Very similarly to what you saw with Grosso's, you know, slipped underneath her. But the second one was definitely the best one of the two. She went the right way again on the third one. It was a little bit unfortunate. So the game was screaming out. I mean, if I'm a side playing against Canada, and you're not as good technically as Canada, if you sit back and you're well organized, I just don't see where the goals are coming from.
Yeah.
And they don't test. They don't, we were talking about this, Wonger, like they don't test, like changing things up. Let's try to get one in behind. Let's try to take somebody on. Like, do we have any pace to get beyond players? It doesn't seem to be that way. It just, you know, the cutting edge, there just isn't any. And I just think that if you're organized and playing against Canada, you're going to do well. And they're not going to create that many chances, which is really unfortunate.
But like I said, there wasn't the full strength side either. And perhaps the depth isn't there like it may have been in previous editions.
Yeah, but Charms, what Craig and I were talking about was even the attempt. And, you know, in Gridiron, we were talking, I threw out, you know, you have to throw a long bomb, a stretch, to make the defense go, oh, this is an opportunity, this is an option that I have to defend. And there was no, Jimmy always says, you have to go and try and beat someone one-on-one once in a while and do it. You just do it for the sake of it. And I was saying, you know, whether you like her brand of the shots she takes, her attempts, all of that, Adriana Leone, is audacious, and she changes the game that way. There was not one person, and this is just me, Dubs, you follow this game deeper than anybody on this panel. If I'm wrong, tell me, but there was no one who was audacious at all. And as an athlete, you sometimes have to be audacious. You've got to take it, and there was not any of that on, it seemed. And that was just, I don't know, that's what we were taking away.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So that, you know, to leave Leon and Lawrence out, it'll be interesting what happens next window, this FIFA series in April. Well, they'll face Brazil, South Korea for a fucking change. They play those two sides all the time and Zambia. So, you know, there'll be good matches again. But I think that bite, you know, that conviction, the attack, and yeah, the audacity for sure to go 1v1. I think you see it in Chukwu, you know, but lacked the service, and the team lacked the consistent menace and danger. And then that has to come in waves, and that has to come from everybody on the pitch, not just an individual, but you do need every now and again just a moment in the match where you have somebody who's going to strike from distance. That's where charms the shout for Olivia Smith. That's where, if she can remain healthy, she can be involved in the next couple of windows, have a little bit of consistency. You have the partnerships developing around her. You can get like some continuity with the 11s that are facing these various opponents. Maybe that starts to build. But that's what Hunter maybe has, you know. But Stoney's mentioned that she's going to be involved. It's a U20 World Cup year. She's going to be involved in her own age group, which is great. But she gets her senior debut, and you saw that in flashes. Like, her first touch was a back heel. You know, like, she has that swagger, you know, the audaciousness to go at an opponent. And that's what you need a striker to do, where you will turn, you will face up, you will go yourself, you'll call your own number. And you just don't see that enough with their women's national team.
Audacity.
Yeah.
Better than audaciousness.
Hmm. You can word, say right? either, though.
Mm-hmm. Can you, is nouns. Audaciousness a word?
Yeah.
Or is audacity the word?
Well, it's based off of audacity.
Yeah, no, I know. But if you're
they're
audacious.
They're both nouns. They're both words.
No, but yeah, so audaciousness is a word. I'm not.
Yes.
Okay. But audacity means the same thing.
Yeah.
Audaciousness is about kind of like a breadth of it. Oh, sorry. Sure about breast. That?
Deep. No. I wasn't making fun of that.
Breast of it. That's right.
Okay. So who, out of these last three games, who has risen the most in the ranks for you out of the new faces and that might have forced their way into a starting job? Or the qualifiers that come up, was it November, isn't it?
Yep.
I think it's November, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely on the horizon. I loved Janine Sonnes further back. I loved her as a fullback.
Right back?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. She played right back, and she was deployed as a left back versus Argentina because
she's
Gabby
right
Carl.
Back way, like, more likely yes. to play right back, is she not?
Correct. But I think we talked about this ad nauseum, where she's deployed all over the pitch. And I think it's to her detriment, but it's also to Canada's detriment because you don't see her kind of used regularly in one position. I think as soon as Jade Revere is back, she's your right back. Gabby Carl is usually on the left, but Carl falls victim to this illness that was running rampant through the team. And then you saw Jessie Fleming and Simi Wujo get the start in the midfield. And I think Jessie Fleming kind of grew into the game, but we really need her to put her stamp on the affair, and she needs to pull the strings, and she needs to dictate and be that midfield maestro. And you saw her be a little bit clunky and untidy, lack of execution in the first half. So, but in terms of who stood out, I thought Courtenay looked good. I think it has to be Chukwu. I think it was AC Lang, WSoccer.ca. If you don't follow her for all your women's soccer info or news, then what are you doing? She's a great follow. AC said, is it too early to give Chukwu the tag as our next savior? I don't think
never
she's
too,
wrong.
It's never too early. It's never
too early to put the weight of expectations in the country on a 19-year-old's shoulders.
Chusy, as she's known by her friends.
Oh, yeah. No.
I have no idea.
No, just no, the whole not at all.
Oh, you're doing a nickname thing.
Yeah.
No, but I really liked Chukwu.
Okay, so let's put you on the spot here, Dubs. November comes around, everyone's healthy, biggest game's coming up for some time. What is your starting 11?
Oh my Christ, Charms. Okay, well, something else I liked was that center back partnership and that duo of Gilles and Jade Rose. So they are definitely at the heart of the back line. Sheridan and Nett, Revere on the right. But then what do you do with Janine? I'll come back to that. Carl on the left. I think you've got Regan and Fleming as your double pivots. Who's in a 10? I think Mimi Alidou is suspended because she believes in yellow card accumulation in this tournament. So she couldn't appear versus Argentina. I thought Chloe Lacasse was lively. So if she keeps, you know, she regaining her footing after that ACL tear, getting minutes with Utah looks good. But who is in that 9 is the big question, right? I think you see Olivia Smith, who has been deployed more often than not as like a false nine or as a 10 under Stoney. She's played as the nine as being that focal point in Arsenal's attack for club. So maybe it's Smith up top. And then who's off the right then? Is it Janine? Is it like, who knows? Is it Annabelle there moving over? I think we have a lot of players who could, and Jordan Heidema played her most comprehensive 90 minutes that I've seen her play within the last couple of years versus Colombia. So there's lots of competition and lots of players pushing kind of these mainstays who have been there for a long time. So getting that complacency out. So that's good. So the big question marks are, where is Sonis deployed and who is playing across the front? I think that's a good problem to have.
I mean, this is the first time in a long time that there's some big names no longer even in the, I mean, they're in the discussion, obviously. Health has been a big part of it for Buchanan and Lawrence and some of these players.
Mm-hmm.
But are they yesterday's news?
No, but I think in any good competitive program, you know, where they've been in the top 10 for years and years and years, you need younger players pushing well-established players out. That's just a reality. It's not really a talking point. So, of course, these players have meant so much to the program. Leon continues to be the most prolific scorer for Canada in recent times. Mm. Lawrence has been arguably our best player over the past decade. Mm-hmm. Of course, they'll be back in the picture. But there's going to be competition, and it's not a given that they will be starters or that they will even be invited. I haven't even mentioned Holly Ward, another NSL player who impressed, but I think you saw her. Stoney mentioned she needed to get a little bit stronger, especially in her upper body for those battles and those 1v1s. But she's got like that old school winger vibe, you know, and she'll beat you on pace. But versus the U.S., where they are athletes as well as footballers, she wasn't necessarily getting by her mark. So got some work to do, but her ceiling is very high.
Khadisha and Ashley Lawrence, they're 30 now,
mm-hmm.
which isn't
but
old.
But Khadisha's going to be back, so Charms. Many... That's another thing, too.
Yeah. Is she like mm-hmm. back when, though?
She's back after like 460 days out because there was the ACL injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was, you know, something we're not really sure, but there was a regression. There was another injury. There was another surgery. So that pushed her return to play. But she's back playing for Chelsea. So Khadisha will be back. So then, like, do you shuffle Rose around? Like, is it a Jill mm-hmm. Buchanan center back pairing? And then it's maybe Rose. And when this team's in possession, it's usually a back three anyway. And one of the fullbacks is bombing on. So lots of options, which is good.
Because when I say 30, I mean, that's not old, not even in football circles, but they've got so much mileage on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, my God, I mean, it makes all of us here feel old. Saying that these girls women are 30 because they were the kids who were going to be the future of the team. And they were, and they became that.
Remember young player of the tournament in 2015.
Oh my God, they were so good. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, man, injuries suck. They slow everyone down, don't they? Let's be honest. But I'm happy to hear that Khadisha still has a definite role to play here. Cause I remember, who was it? I forget who it was now, a broadcast. This is years ago now. And he said that this player could be, for him, the best defender in the world in a few years' time. Who was that? Was it you, Craig? It may have been Craig.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was you.
Well, Craig, you would have covered that 2015 Women's World Cup in Canada, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Craig.
Yeah, I think it was.
Jesus.
Wow. Craig's going to quote himself. Craig's going to go, wait, there was this broadcaster who said something about Khadisha Buchanan.
Time flies, eh? Wow. Anyway, you know, for an exhibition-friendly tournament, mm-hmm. the She Believes Cup always presents some great conversation points. And we have them leading into the next window in April. With the old foes, Brazil and South Korea.
Yeah.
Where are those games being played?
In Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Okay. Anything else you want to touch on the weekend from that standpoint, Dubs? Or anyone?
I don't think so, but it was good to see you guys.
Yeah.
In person.
The podcast isn't done. Yes. We're still talking.
But yeah, it was. That way, I'm including that in the weekend.
It was good to see Dubs behaving herself on Friday as well because she had to work Saturday. Yeah.
She had to work. There was responsible no, Dubs, in the gym. Right? instead of press box dubs.
There's no dancing. There's no doing the stairs.
No, you know? No doing the stairs. Yeah.
Historic weekend for Canadian teams, actually. Three victories for three MLS teams based in Canada away from home. I know there's some conversation this morning about, has it been done before? What do we come to? Has it been done before?
I think Dubs found the right stat that was, Dubs, I'll let you tell it.
Yeah, it was courtesy of our friends at One Soccer. So the last time that all Canadian clubs picked up a win over the weekend was June 28th, 29th, and 2025. So not that long ago at all. But the last time all three won away from home was the weekend of May 5th and 6th in 2017.
Oh, so it wasn't that crazy.
No.
It's happened before.
Recency bias. We talked
about it. Yes, but AI said it never happened before. So. Let's double check AI.
Seems unlikely, doesn't it? Let's start with the best team, though, Vancouver, Craig. And they smashed Portland 4-1. White with a couple. Berhalter, I think, two assists and a goal. I love Phil Neville's comments after the match. He goes, I thought some of our players played like little boys, which I find very offensive, using the word.
Yeah, I'm offended.
Not having that at all.
It's disgusting.
It was meant to be.
I thought they played with too much fear. Well, it's easy to be fearful of Vancouver right now, Craig, the way they're playing. They found their goal-scoring boots now as well.
Oh, man. What a performance. They're tough to play against. Their balance and pressure when they all decide to do it at the same time, hard to play around. You have to have your touch, and your players have to be bang on to try to play out of that trouble. And then their finishing is excellent. They're full of confidence. Muller is just working everything, orchestrating everything. White looked good. I mean, gee whiz, they look good all over the park.
Gee whiz.
I love that you said gee whiz.
Gee whiz.
Gee whiz.
Oh, shoot, man. I can't believe it.
Holy moly.
Super duper.
Dag nabbit.
Super.
But it was comprehensive, like just really well done.
Yeah. It was super. I think Berhalter is going to be, would you agree with this, top three midfielders in the league? I think he's incredible.
Hard to argue that.
Incredible. He just runs it. He's got the engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
I love watching him play. I'm a huge fan.
Out wide, great. Like beating players, breaking guys down, finding players in the box.
Yeah.
Excellent.
They just continued from last season, haven't they?
Yeah.
And you think losing a couple of players, you think, oh, you know, are they going to be in a little bit of trouble? But they just seem to be getting stronger and stronger now.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, Jimmy. I was like, wow, they have lost a few, and it don't seem to be missing a beat at all.
You knew what they were doing, weren't they? They've done that from a while now. It's a well-run club. And there's been no noise recently, the last couple of weeks at least, about all the other stuff, which is good, just focusing on the game at hand. Maybe we'll get Asa back on the show where he's due for an appearance this week. Wonger, get the inside track on Vancouver. But they're 3-0, right? It's three games in?
Yeah.
3-0 to start the season. So is LAFC, by the way, Eustachio with an assist in that one. They won 1-0. TFC, Jimmy, not only did they win, but defensively, my God, what a difference. From the goal out, Gavran, he wasn't that busy, but he made a couple of really good saves. And you bring in the new boys. Kusevich comes in after what? He only joined, I think, Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
He looks much better alongside.
Great signing.
Zimmerman, Monlouis look good again. Like, what a difference that performance was. And they held on to the lead. I'm watching that game. It's 1-0 late. I think, oh, here we go. And you see Cincinnati pushing like in injury time. And how many times have we seen TFC concede goals at that point the last few years? And they didn't. They were resolute.
Yeah. Look, for me, I thought it was a great team performance. I mean, when you watch that first 20 minutes or so, it looked like they were the home team against Cincinnati. Pat Noonan on his side was going absolutely ballistic because he couldn't figure out what was happening and just the pressure that TFC was putting them under. And I thought everybody on the park played a role. And Kusevic, when he just his presence on the park alongside Zimmerman and Monlouis, I thought they were brilliant with Larea at the back. It was just solid. Mihaljevic in the middle of the park, instrumental, just organizing everything and just dictating the play. And then up top, I thought our players up top, their movement, their desire to get in behind, to take players on, like Shaloy was, he was brilliant for me. Absolutely brilliant. Every time he gets on it, he wants to make something happen.
Direct player, right?
Yeah, he's a handful for defenders. And even the goal where Richie Larea slips him in, just his movement, the awareness of the space has been in behind, keeps himself on side. It's Nick Hagelin, actually, being the last man. He's dropped a little bit. Shaloy understands that. And he sees, okay, center back's dropped here. And then he ends up getting behind. Nice little touch, finds the far corner. But I thought overall the performance was brilliant from TFC, and I really like the direction that they're going. And look, that's not even bringing in the big striker, big Sergeant. Once he gets into that squad now, and just the way that you can see that they're playing, you can see their identity now, their style of play. I think they're on the up here, big time. And I really like that. And that's not an easy place to go to Cincinnati, by the way. That is difficult. They're a big team, strong, very good at home. And to get that result, that will do them a world of confidence, world of good, really is. Super.
Shallowy, though, Jimmy, Uber. Where did he come from? Was he at Charlotte Kansas. Before? Kansas.
Yeah. Hungarian, right? Daniel Shallowy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know JMO wrote a piece about him, is it today or yesterday, on tfcrepublic.ca about why he was brought in, and Fraser wanted a more direct runner. Yeah. To really work, and we saw that yesterday, right? But that Richie ball to play him in was just exquisite, wasn't it? Richie was so involved again, playing the wing back, and just a much better performance against a good Cincinnati team.
Yeah, the way he turned out of trouble too was Richie.
Yeah,
brilliant. Like he turns right out of trouble, then all of a sudden he's just into space. Cincinnati don't know what to do. Do we close him down? Do we drop off? And then he sees that, and he has way too much time from Cincinnati's point of view. And then just a beautiful ball played in and really good finish too. Yeah. But it was the resilience, I thought, that really defensively that was impressive. And it was great that they got a clean sheet. And like you said, Jimmy, that the confidence will do them a world of good.
Yeah, you just felt like they weren't going to concede. Did you just like there was no weak link throughout the team. It was just everybody together. They defended together as a unit. They attacked together. They they wanted it. And you can see when a team wants it, and you just feel that the pressure, whatever was coming from Cincinnati, that they weren't going to break them.
Any concerns, Jimmy, with Walker Zimmerman? I mean, concussion issues in his career, and then he indicates to the referee that he needs to go off.
Yeah, I think, look, good for him for doing that, because a lot of players would have just kind of played through it, and he knew right away, and you can actually hear him say, "Ref, I feel dizzy, like I'm not right." And the referee did the right thing, blew the whistle and says, "Right, get yourself off and let's get you some medical attention." So fair play to him to draw on the attention to the referee and just saying, "Look, I'm not right, get me off." It is a concern.
When was that again? I'm trying to think.
I think it was around like 15. It was pretty early on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it? I thought it was later.
Regardless.
It was like in the 70th minute.
Oh, was that late? I thought it was earlier than that. I just caught the highlights. You guys know better than me. I remember, but what you're saying, Jimmy, like the onus shouldn't be on the player to flag it, but it's good that we're getting to a point with concussions that the player recognizes the severity of it, or whether you have a history of it, that you need to get off the pitch. I remember playing at a University of Nebraska game, and Karina LeBlanc was in net. Sheralta Nonan was playing center back, was a longtime player for our women's national team, was a tremendous player. So that was us down the spine. It was KK, Sheralta in front of her, and then myself playing the six. And Karina had gotten a knock to the head, like on a corner kick or something. And I don't even know if the trainer came out, but she played on. And then she was just talking absolute like gibberish. So Sheralta was like, are you hearing what she's saying? I was like, no. And we got back and we had to like defend a set piece again. And Karina was talking about, I don't even know, but like she was making no sense. So much. So, you know, when a kid wakes up and they're having like a fever dream and you're like, oh my God, like what's happening? And it's alarming. So Karina was doing that. And I was like, you need to take a knee right now.
She took a knee apparently.
Right, well, yeah. And like she was there, but like her sense of urgency, like she was, it's almost like fight or flight, like the adrenaline was coursing through her veins. And so she was very chaotic, which, you know, KK would shout and say stuff. And sometimes I would tune her out because there was so much coming from her. I'd just be like, shut up, KK. But, you know, when she needed you to do something, you would listen in those moments. But it was just a constant stream of consciousness that made zero sense. So we flagged the trainer and she got taken out of the match because I was like, she is not okay. And sure enough, she was concussed. So it's important whether it's the players around, the one who's gotten the knock to the head, or the player themselves to recognize I am not okay and this could have long-term consequences to my health.
Mm-hmm. It's a shift, right? I mean, the player feels their hammy or a tweak in their calf, they're happy to take themselves off.
Yep.
But not from feeling a little bit woozy. No, but that's actually a lot more important to take yourself off. So, yeah, good for him.
There's still a thing about that. It's important for coaches and staff to tell the players beforehand that, listen, your health and safety is number one, it's priority, and I'm not going to give you any shit if you pull yourself out because of a head injury. Take the pressure off them, because a lot of it is pressure, and that, you come off and it's like back in the day we were playing in England, you come off with a head injury, they'd be like, what's wrong with you? Like, what? Shake it off, like, you know? So you're under pressure to stay on when you really shouldn't.
So TFC win, Vancouver win, Montreal win. This amazing young New York Red Bulls team who we've been just celebrating the last couple of weeks. You know, they're going to win everything. You can win with kids. Michael Bradley is the second coming of Pep Guardiola. You got these teenagers and they got smashed by Montreal. What a huge win, Dubs.
Massive. And also Carmona, former Red Bulls player, getting the brace.
Like, didn't celebrate.
No. Yeah, respectful. And actually, we didn't talk about it. I know we're talking about Montreal, but Thomas Muller on Berhalter's goal, which made it 3-0 at that point, and then so the Cascadia rivals and all that sort of stuff, seeming to take the steam and the sting out of the celebration. Did you see that?
Yeah.
What do you guys make of that? I don't have a problem with a team celebrating this third goal, like
it was three,
putting the game out of reach. Yeah. Anyway,
Tom, have some fun out there, man. Jesus.
No, I don't have a problem with the team celebrating on after they score their third goal. Like, I don't think there's anything, as long as it's respectful. Like, celebrate, have at it, fill your boots.
Dour German ruining everything.
Yeah. It's true though, isn't it? I mean, especially when it's a bit of a derby. I mean, I remember when we scored our seventh against Montreal, we were still celebrating.
Oh, you have to bring that one up.
Pricks. What a bunch of pricks.
Yeah, but you needed it.
Yeah. It's the seventh goal of the season. That's probably why at the time.
Yeah. So who had a problem with them celebrating after the third?
I don't think anybody did, but I think it was, Mueller trying to take the temperature down a little bit. And just as if you watch the replay of Berhalter's goal, which was the third to make it 3-0, he goes over and he's looking at the crowd, and maybe Mueller just feels like he needs to take the sting out of it a bit. He needs to, like, not talk anybody down, and not that Berhalter was doing anything wrong, but he just kind of see him grab everybody. They have a little huddle and he's kind of doing this a bit, you know, like hands down, like, let's just take it easy a little bit.
Right. Look like we've been here before.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. But also it's like Jimmy's saying, like, without the TFC over Montreal reference, like it's a goal. Fucking celebrate.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, Montreal Sharms, like, they looked terrible through the first two games, right? Any hope that was there was absolutely, it fizzled out in the fan base and everybody covering it. And I'm not covering it as closely as I used to, but, you know, in that echo chamber that I'm still in with the Montreal media, like, it was bleak. It was pretty dismal when you were looking at the long-term prospects of this team. So an emphatic 3-0 win over the kids and the Michael Bradley coached Red Bull team, that they looked high flying. They looked really electric for Montreal to go in there and to walk away 3-0. And Ivan Jaime, I think you looked, they've been playing like a hybrid system where they're like, well, no, it was actually a back four, but it's a back three in possession. It looked like a back five at times. So I think people are a little bit perplexed as to what system they're actually playing. Like, they continue to man mark all over the pitch. But you saw the pressure leading to Carmona's second, Jaime drawing the penalty, Prince Owusu getting that one. And then on Carmona's first, it's a great dummy by Prince Owusu. So great kind of leadership from him and being integral in everything that they're doing, kind of going at the net and creating threat.
Montreal, yeah, watching the first two games and then watching that one, you wouldn't believe that they were that bad in the first two games.
Yeah.
I mean, Montreal, and the goalkeeper played well as well. I'm glad he got a clean sheet and had a pretty good performance because he's been under some pressure.
Yes.
At Orlando next, but without, of course, Max, Craig, who got red carded on the weekend for, you know, essentially grabbing the ball outside the area. Just, I guess, got a little bit confused as to where he was, but they're never good red cards to give up, are they? It's been a bit of a shaky start for Max, let's be honest, at Orlando.
You know, overall, I would say that his performances have been pretty good. He's made a couple mistakes, but he's under a lot of pressure. Orlando's going to concede a lot of chances. They've been getting crushed. And that's not always going to be good for goalkeepers, no matter how well you play. I mean, look at the lat. When he played against Miami, he made a bunch of outstanding saves. And then talk about recency bias. Messi hits that free kick, bad goal to give up. And then all of a sudden, everybody's all over him because it was late in the game. They're like, you know, they give him a bad mark. He's like 4 points something, you know, terrible performance. But that's what they're remembering. They're not remembering the five great saves before that. But you just have to keep your mistakes down to a minimum because that's what managers are looking at. That's what Marsh is looking at. It's the consistency and not making mistakes and being solid that is the most important for coaches.
Vancouver's next match is actually this week in the Champions Cup against Seattle. It's a full sked of Champions Cup. LA Galaxy against Mount Pleasant. That's a team.
Sounds like it's a high school.
I don't think they should be the favorites in that one then, in that case. But yeah, full skid of Champions Cup games. TFC actually on the weekend is, where is it here? Actually against New York Red Bull. Ooh, Bradley back to BMO Field because it's Toronto's first game, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, they got nine home games in a row.
Nine now, right? Yeah. Opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And you think we see Sargent there, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'd imagine he'll come on at some point.
All right, so interesting weekend in MLS. Anything else you want to touch on from MLS, anyone, before we move on?
No.
No, okay, good. Well, let's move on then, shall we? Because it's a bit of a concerning weekend for Canada's national team, men's side. Another injury. Luc de Fougerolle limps off with an ankle injury. He did play on for a little bit, which I guess bodes somewhat well. Not an update just yet, but as far as I look at it right now, aside from Richie, that's the top six defenders all out right now. Six. Six. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Not wrong.
Maybe I'll start going for a run. Get
myself back in. You're left sided. I think we're okay there.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need you, Jimmy.
I'll be an inverted winger.
I can be a backup winger. Maybe in the middle.
Throw you on the right side. But.
There's no way to look at it, really. I mean, listen, I understand the depth, and I understand these guys coming back, a lot of them, very soon. Although I think Johnston had a slight setback. But they're back soon, which is all good. And there's still 3 months left before the World Cup. But when you have six, I mean, five wasn't great either, but six.
I know, you keep saying.
Six.
Six.
It's crazy, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's of concern. It's a bit of a war of attrition right now is throughout that back line. But you just look at the depth of squad and how that's affected. It's alarming right now. And Jesse Marsh must be pulling his hair out, thinking, what is going on here? Because you do want, you know, the March window, I think that the trialing, the testing, that's over. you want to start laying the foundation for how you're going to suit up, how you're going to face that first opponent on June 12th. And you're severely limited in your ability to do that now because of injuries. And it's reality. You know, Forrest mentions this all the time that, you know, you, of course you want players in great club form, but there's always the risk of injury. But Canada's is really had a shit hand dealt to them recently with injuries to the back line.
And clubs at this time of the season, it's intense and there's a lot at stake for a lot of clubs. And, you know, the clubs are going to ask an awful lot of these players right up to the World Cup, really.
Ralph Prizzo has got a wry smile.
I know, he's rubbing his hands together.
What a shame. What a shame. At least he's playing well and healthy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not great. Apart from that, I mean, no one, apart from Tejon scored a nice goal, a typical Tejon goal, the goal that Tejon always scores. Beautiful. So thank God he scores. No one else is. Well, this Bim Pepel kid at Plymouth Argyle, he scored again this weekend.
Yeah.
That's like 9 in his last 12. I imagine he'll get a call up, although they'll try and get a call up for this upcoming window, you'd think, because no one else is scoring goals. They're getting minutes. Did you see the comments from Spalletti this weekend about, not so much about John David specifically, but referring to Yildiz saying he needs to have a center forward closer to him, basically, right?
Yeah, like a proper striker.
A proper center, yeah. If you're a Pender or you're John David at Juventus, they're not the kind of words you want to hear your managers say, are they?
No, it's not an outright condemnation of your play, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If only we had a striker.
Yeah.
I mean, don't have to
read between the lines too much, right?
No. No.
I don't know if you can make it clear.
I know. If only he didn't mince words.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, John, like I said, he's getting minutes, but he's just not scoring. And you can work your ass off all you want, but as a striker, you've got to start scoring goals at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We know what he can do, but can he do it at Juventus? Maybe he needs a fresh start, but he ain't going to get it before the World Cup. So this seems to be what you're going to get at this point. You're going to get some players entering the world. And listen, 3 months left, who knows? He could go on a tear. John David does score in buckets, you know, and gets kind of streaky. Mm-hmm. But when I look around, who else is? I mean, Carl Aaron is getting minutes at Southampton. They beat Fulham this weekend in the FA Cup. They scored the goal after Carl came off, but still he's playing minutes there, but he's not really scoring goals.
After a really hot start, too.
Yeah, a really good start. But he's getting called, but he's doing well, but he's not, like I said, he's not putting this ball in the back of the net. But who else? I mean, we know Promise. Did you see the interview? Please tell me you saw the interview.
Uh-huh.
It was outstanding. With DAZN during the Union match, and basically he says, "Listen, I'm not out yet," and he hopes to kind of escalate the time frame to get back. But he said, he asked, you know, are you worried about missing the World Cup? He goes, "I'm 24, got another one." It's like, I don't want to hear that.
No,
But let's be honest. Looks unlikely he's going to make it. Mm-hmm. In which case, if you're TSN. Or you're someone that owns the rights to this tournament, you have to approach Promise David. Not at the expense of anyone that might be working for TSN during the World Cup. Not at their expense. There's plenty of games to go around. Just saying.
Plenty of games to go around. What a personality, though. That would be a tremendous loss, not only for Canada, because he's our most prolific informed striker. I think Ali Ahmed would want to have a word because, you know, if there's a bright spot in terms of our attacking line and form a club, it's Ali, right? But Promise David is doing something at club and continues to do so, has been doing so consistently for the last number of years. And to see him out, like, that is a huge blow. Like, obviously our back line is of concern, but yeah, our strikers, our center forwards in form, It's been a promise. And whether or not he's favored by Jesse Marsh, how many minutes was he actually going to get? That's a whole other discussion. But that's a huge loss.
Anyone want to add to that?
Mm.
Okay.
And his personality, the vibes, right? Like, that's what you're talking about. Like, whether you're TSN, a rights holder, of course you want those sound bites, and you want that energy in the dressing room if you're Jesse Marsh, right?
Yeah, yeah. At this rate, you may have a number of ex or current players to choose from. The way that's freaking going. Anyway, sex!
Sex!
Jesus. All right. Elsewhere around the world of football, anything you guys want to touch on or piqued your fancy this weekend? Wonger?
You've been muted for a long stretch now, Wonger. Yeah.
We didn't hear a word you're saying. Mm-hmm. But you look great.
You need a microphone.
Looks like they're the closed caption in person during the...
There's a little trouble in Scotland between Rangers and Celtic.
Oh, my Christ.
Go on, Celtic.
Yes.
Yeah, big win over Rangers. Big win.
Mm-hmm.
Still behind, though. Hearts,
but
right?
Bedlam ensued.
Kicked off after that.
Yeah.
Now, you say, come on, Celtic. I mean, seeing a pitch invasion, it kind of cool. You don't condone it, right? But it does kind of feel like an old school.
It was.
The old firm.
The balaclavas came on.
Yeah, there's a lot of hoodies, a lot of black guys or black jackets and hoodies. We'll see what happens there.
Let me see here at the table here. So, no, Hearts are still 6 points up on Celtic. The split.
You can't see Hearts losing it at the moment.
No, but the split happens next month, right? Yeah. They split the season and they start playing each other more often. It gets really exciting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I hope they can do it. Yeah. I hope they can do it. It'd be nice. Good for the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of some violence, did you see the Cruzeiro Atletico Mineiro match in Brazil? The all out fight at the end of that one. 23 red cards were handed out. Woo.
That's gonna be a record.
23. It was like an all-out melee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't condone such things. Terrible. Never want to see that.
Good football.
It was like, wow, did you see that?
There's some good like football kicks, you know, or like someone comes at somebody like, oh, you're going to see like a huge haymaker here. Somebody throw a punch and instead it's like a karate chop. Studs up. Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, when it goes sideways in South America, it goes sideways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My God, they lose their heads.
It's good to watch. It's fun to watch, but we don't condone such awful, violent behavior. It's not part of the game. Mm. What else piqued your fancy this weekend? Wonga, can we hear you yet? No? Okay. Jimmy?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good. Dubs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm also good.
Okay. Well, that's it then. That's it for Footy Prime this day. Tomorrow? Back tomorrow, shall we? Yeah? Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Poor Wonga, sure. He's dying right now. He's been muzzled. All right. Well, listen, make sure you follow us and like us and subscribe and retweet and all that good stuff. And look, check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter as well. All that good stuff. And we'll be back probably tomorrow. If not tomorrow, very soon thereafter. Give us some thoughts, your comments. We'll get to them. All right. So cheers very much for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Or Wonger, he wants to say something. So
I know, he's dying.
He's actually biting his lip. He's like, a threat or something.